In this video, we trace marriage from Genesis to Revelation. This is important because Christian wedding officiants need more than a few ceremony lines. They need a biblical imagination. The Bible begins with marriage imagery in Genesis and ends with marriage imagery in Revelation. That does not mean every person must be married. The Bible honors singleness, and Jesus and Paul both show that a person can live a full and faithful life without earthly marriage. But marriage has a unique place in the biblical story. Genesis 1 gives us male and female image bearers. God created man in his own image. In God's image, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This teaches dignity. Both man and woman bear God's image. The bride is not lesser. The groom is not independent. Both stand before God as embodied souls. Genesis 2 gives us one flesh union. The man leaves father and mother and is joined to his wife. The two become one flesh. This is not merely a private emotional bond. It is a covenantal, embodied, public reality. Genesis 3 shows us the wound. Sin brings shame, blame, hiding, and relational disorder. This is why marriage preparation must include more than wedding planning. A couple needs grace, truth, forgiveness, and spiritual formation. The Old Testament continues to treat marriage as covenant. Malachi 2 speaks of the wife of your covenant. The prophets sometimes use marriage imagery to describe God's covenant relationship with his people. These passages show that marriage is not casual. Faithfulness matters. Then Jesus comes. In John 2, Jesus attends a wedding in Cana. His presence at a wedding feast honors marriage and celebration. In Matthew 19, Jesus affirms creation marriage and says, "What therefore God has joined together, don't let man tear apart." The apostles continue this witness. 1 Corinthians 7 gives practical teaching about marriage, singleness, mutual responsibility, and holiness. 1 Corinthians 13 teaches love that is patient, kind, truthful, enduring, and not self-seeking. Ephesians 5 connects marriage to Christ and the church. Colossians 3 calls believers to compassion, humility, forgiveness, peace, thankfulness, and love. Then Revelation 19 points us to the wedding supper of the Lamb. The final hope of Scripture is not merely private spirituality. It is communion with God, the redeemed people gathered, the Lamb exalted, and covenant joy fulfilled. So what does this mean for wedding officiants? It means every Christian wedding stands inside a biblical ark. Creation gives marriage its design. The fall explains marriage's wounds. Redemption gives marriage its healing center. New creation gives marriage its final horizon. This also helps us avoid postmodern ceremony drift. A Christian wedding is not a blank page where the bride and groom create their own truth. Their story matters. Their love matters. Their family stories matter. Their hopes matter. But their story is placed inside the larger story of God. The officiant can say with warmth, "Today, we celebrate your story." But we do so inside God's larger story of creation, covenant, redemption, and Christ. For the church staff minister, this protects congregational witness. For the chaplain, this gives biblical clarity even in short or urgent ceremonies. For the ordained officiant, this gives depth across many weddings. For the life coach minister or romance officiant, this connects ceremony to discipleship. For the one wedding officiant, this gives confidence that even a simple ceremony can be deeply Christian. From Genesis to Revelation, marriage is received, not invented. It is created by God, wounded by sin, redeemed in Christ, and fulfilled in the final joy of the Lamb. A Christian wedding officiant stands in that story as a faithful witness.